Amen. Thank you, guys. Everybody say amen. Can you say amen? All right, so we're going to be in the book of Matthew as we try to finish chapter 5. I think we're going to be able to get past chapter 5. What do you think? That's my plan this morning, but the Lord might have me do something else. I hope not, because I prepared for this. And, so let's go. Chapter 5, verse 33. Chapter 5, verse 33 through 48. And, all kidding aside, this will take us through chapter 5. It's been a long chapter, hasn't it? But we're learning. We're growing. We're learning God's Word. We're getting it in our heart, deep down in our soul. And so let's read together. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 says, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Verse 43, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Everybody said amen? Amen. You ever wondered what all these kind of scriptures really mean? Sometimes, you know, scriptures, if you just kind of look at it, it seems kind of, wow, okay, You know, and that's why it's real important if we, you know, to study God's Word and really get into what the Holy Spirit really wants to show to us. It's very, very important. So anyway, let's start out in the verse 33 through 37. And Jesus is referring to taking an oath using the Lord's name as a guarantee, but then breaking it. Now, we're looking at Leviticus, right? 19:12, it says, you shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. So he's telling them not to do that. Now, as we've learned in the last 2 or 3 weeks, some of the religious rabbis have developed a way to scheme around some of these laws. In this one particular right here, they have sidestepped this commandment. And really, Jesus is trying to expose these guys for their craziness, really. You see, they taught that swearing by God's name was binding. But they could swear by other things like Jerusalem or the earth or anything else. That was okay. Okay? And it will be sort of like us saying today, I swear on a stack of Bibles. Remember that when he was a kid or whatever? Or, I swear on my mama's grave. Anybody remember that? And that's kind of similar to what it's saying. But Jesus is saying, righteous people, remember we talked about it the last couple of weeks, a righteous person is a person who has accepted Christ, is, you know, believing the death, burial, resurrection, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're walking in Christ. But righteous people do not need to guarantee their word. They don't need to guarantee their word by swearing to something, making an oath. They need to simply say their yes is their yes, and their no is their no. Anything else, the Bible says, really comes from our flesh. You know, some believers take this to mean you must refuse to even take an oath in the court of law. And that is not true. That's more of the hyper-religious misinformation foolishness of the world. It's okay to lay your hand on the Bible and say, I swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's okay. It's the religious folks, even back then, and even today, the hyper-religious, sorry, but I just call them weirdos, man. They come out of space with some kind of religious rule or regulation that most time brings fear and condemnation. That's how you recognize it. If it brings fear and condemnation, you know, that's the religious folks again stirring something up. They were doing it in Jesus' days. And that's really kind of what this whole part of the Sermon on the Mount was about, was Jesus exposing these guys for what they really were. A lot of them were con men and manipulators and that sort of thing. Verse 38, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, or tooth for a tooth. And we've all heard that thrown around in the circles of the world, you know. It comes from Exodus 21, 23 through 25. And here's what it really says. You ready? It says, but if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot, burn for a burn, right? Wound for a wound, and a stripe for a stripe. But you see what was going on here? And Jesus knew. He knew their hearts. What was going on here is the Jews had perverted God's law to give themselves the permission, really, for vendettas, for vengeance. And this is what they did. See, the religious leaders had twisted another law to benefit them in their wicked heart. And that was never God's intent. And you even see and hear religious leaders, even today, try to twist the word, and especially the Old Testament, and twist it around, and this sort of thing. Let's look at it then. Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. Listen to this. It says, instead, everybody say instead. Instead, he demands that we love your neighbor as you love yourself. Wow, that's very clear. See, because the Jews had perverted God's original intent, Jesus said to them, remember, he's going back and forth with them the last two or three weeks, we've seen this. Matthew verse 39 says, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. This does not mean that you should sit there and allow someone to beat you down. This does not mean that you should not protect your family if somebody's breaking into your house. Right? That's not the intent of the scripture. God intends for us to protect our family. keep our family safe. When it talks about turning the other cheek, it's basically, you look at it and read it, it's basically saying, let it go. Forgive the other person. Don't take revenge. Maybe someone hurts you, says something bad about you. Let it go. Give it to God. Pray for them. Don't get revenge. You know, those guys back in the day, if somebody killed their dog, they'll go over there and kill their dog. No, that's not the way Christian believers need to act. Don't get revenge. That's what Jesus is talking about. Now let's move on to verse 40. Verse 40 says, if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak too. Now, back in the day, a tunic was like a shirt. It was an undergarment, a shirt. And the cloak obviously was the jacket. It was a jacket, kind of like a blanket they would throw over them. Okay? Now, most people that day only had one shirt and one jacket, one coat. Okay? And sometimes if they found themselves in a court of law, if they didn't have any money or no property, the court would tell them, okay, turn in your coat. Turn in your shirt. That's just the way they'd set it up. But the principle here, the principle in this scripture is do not seek vengeance. Now, here's the interesting thing. Roman soldiers in that day could legally commandeer a local citizen to pick up their luggage and towed it for them. But the rule or law, whatever, the Roman rule or law of that day told them that they could only do that for 1 mile. For 1 mile. And I'm sure that infuriated those, proud Jewish folks. Could you imagine, you know, dusty and they're trying to, you know, maybe a, you know, some Jewish guy maybe had his nice little jacket on or something, and maybe even one of the, you know, the rabbis or something, one of the Pharisees or happened to be walking by with their fancy stuff on. And here comes a bunch of Roman soldiers, dusty and dirty, coming back from wherever. And they, hey, you, come here, take my luggage. I bet that made them so mad, you know, frustrated them so much. Ooh, you know, I'm Mr. Fancy Pants. I shouldn't have to tote your luggage. But they did. And I can see Jesus talking to them about that. Cause Jesus told them, yeah, okay, that's part of the Roman, you know, law or whatever. But Jesus said, but let me tell you something, right? Verse 41. Jesus said, yes, that's true, but if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. So here again, Jesus is telling these Pharisees, these folks, these Jews, yeah, that's true. Now what I want you to do really, is tote their luggage, but don't just tote it 1 mile. Go ahead and tote it 2 miles. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. This is Jesus taking these guys to the next level. He's taking the game up to a whole nother level. Jesus continues in verse 42 by saying, give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Now the implication is that the person who asks, listen closely, has a legitimate need. Not just a want, not just a con, not just a sad, manipulative story. Be very careful giving your money to people around these days. I work with a lot of those kind of folks, and they will tell me in a braggadocious way that they can make $1,000 a week just standing out with their sign and just brag about it. Now, are there legitimate cases where people need money? Absolutely. But you don't need to be prayed up. You don't need to feel sorry for these people. You need to pray for them and pray for you, that you're listening to the Holy Spirit. Right? And don't fall for that little thing that we say sometimes, well, I'll give them 20 bucks and that's between them and God. That's not walking in the Spirit. That's just us trying to feel better about ourselves because we want to help someone. We all want to help someone. If you're a Christian believer, you want to help someone. These days, though, you need to be very careful. You need to pray for them. If you see someone, you feel like you got a prompting, pray. Go down the road, turn around, park in a parking lot somewhere for 3 minutes and pray and ask the Lord. Right? And maybe He'll put it on your heart to go and go right back there and give them 10 bucks and then you move on. But if it's the Lord, I did that the other day, right? The little guy in the grocery store, he's standing there looking at the burritos. They were $1. And he was trying to decide which one he wanted to get with his $1, I'm sure. And I reached some old wallet thing, and I'm not bragging. I'm just, this is the way it is. I don't care. It's just what happened. And I pulled out the $10, and I put it in my other pocket because I didn't want to pull out my wallet. I put $10. And I said a little prayer, and the lady was like, what you doing? I was like, mind your business. No, I didn't tell her that. But I say a little prayer, and I said, Father, you know, this little guy, I feel bad for him. I feel sorry. And I said, if it's your will, you know, work this out. And we walked on, and he immediately kind of turned to the right and walked down that aisle, and I didn't see him again. I still got my 10 bucks in my pocket. But if he'd have turned any way toward me or anything, I would have walked over there. That's just the way me and the Lord's got it worked out there. He you know, I'd have gave him the 10 bucks. Now, figure out a way that you and the Lord can distinguish between the con and someone who genuinely needs our help. Amen? We are not to give things to people who want to take advantage of us. Everybody hear that? We are not to give to people who want to take advantage of us or who has, listen closely, who has been proven to be too lazy to take care of their own needs. This is scriptural. One thing about this church is you guys give and you try to meet people's needs, especially people who are a church family and outside of the church. You've blessed and tried to meet their needs and that sort of thing. But if somebody comes in, we need to help them as much as we can, but be very careful. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 3:10. This is the Bible now, so don't throw stones at me here. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command. Here's the Bible verse. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. That sounds kind of strong. But I'll just leave that right there. Right? Righteous people. In other words, born again Christians, full of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit of God. They know what's a real need. They are generous. You guys are generous with your time and talents and your money. You're very generous. And I believe it's because you know deep in your heart that everything you have, everything I have, is God's. And He gave it to me. He allowed me to have this little bit that I have. That little $10 came from God. Right? And that's, I believe that. So be prayed up about those kind of things. Verse 43 says, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Bingo! Jesus caught them again. Because nowhere. Remember, Jesus says, you have heard. That scripture. He said, you have heard. Doesn't make it true because they heard it. Everybody got it? Just because you heard something doesn't make it true. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That is not in the Bible. That is nowhere in the Old Testament. That is nowhere in the Old Covenant. The old laws, the 613 laws. It's nowhere in there. You can't find it. Jesus is again exposing these religious leaders, exposing them and their way they manipulated the law most time for their own benefit. Jesus cleared it up. Verse 44, he says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, if you look at that word love, we've all heard this before, I'm sure, but that word's translated from, it means agape. That's what that particular love, that word love means, agape. And agape means this. It's a self-sacrificing love that seeks to meet the needs of others. That's what agape really, really means. It's a self-sacrificing love that seeks to meet the needs of others. It's an unconditional type love. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about what can I do for you? How can I show love to you? How can I meet your needs today? Amen? How can I meet your needs today? So Jesus here is talking about enemies, right? So basically he's saying, do something kind for your enemies. Do something kind. There's somebody at work that gets on your nerves, that doesn't really like you because whatever crazy reason, do something kind for them. Bring in a banana nut bread for them. You know, little thing. Do something kind for them. Your neighbor can't get along. He doesn't like you. He gets on your nerves. Jesus says, do something kind for them. You see, the love of God is so powerful in righteous people, is what Jesus is talking about. Born again Christians walking in the Spirit. The love is so powerful within us, it should be, that we should be able to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Sometimes it's hard. But we trust in the Lord. He'll help us do that. Jesus moves on to verse 45. He explains that when we do this, it glorifies the Father. It shows the world that we are His children. We are children of God. Verse 46 says, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do this? Well, poor tax collectors, they were rough, bad folks, weren't they? It says, do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? See, what this really means is God expects Christians to love even more than what the world can show. Much higher than what the world tries to love people. You know, anyone can love someone who loves them, right? That's what Jesus is talking about. But righteous people should love everyone and treat everyone the same. Even our enemies. I don't do well with that one. I try. you know. But I don't, you know, God's mercy and grace helps me with that. I don't do well with that one, so I have to trust the Lord to help me. Jesus concludes this chapter in verse 48. He says, therefore, now listen closely to this one, and we'll close in about 5 minutes. Jesus concludes, he says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now that's a pretty powerful statement there. Okay, and I want you to truly understand this one. The word translated perfect literally means this: having reached an intended end. Now, what's the word perfect means right here in this particular scripture, this verse, it means having reached an intended end, a completeness. In other words, it's like God is drawing this beautiful, he's on this canvas and he's drawing this beautiful artwork, and it's your life. And he started it, and he's continually working on it. It's going to be a masterpiece. It's going to be beautiful. And he just quite hasn't finished it yet. But it's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect on this earth, because not one of us are perfect. So what we have to do now is we have to rest. We have to rest in the perfection of Christ until that day comes when we will be made perfect. When that trumpet call sounds and the rapture of the church, the dead in Christ rise from the grave, or God chooses to call you home tonight, immediately you will be made perfect. Your spirit, body, soul, everything. That's the only way we can go to heaven. But right now on this earth, we're completely, 100% dependent on the perfection of Christ. Amen? The righteousness that Jesus has been talking about this whole chapter, the righteousness is given to us by God's grace through our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. The resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us hope for everlasting life. And the Holy Spirit's baptism seals us into the family of God. This is our eternal security. John chapter 10. It's the last scripture. John chapter 10, 27 through 30. Listen closely to this. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. This is Jesus talking now. Okay? He says, I'll start over. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Never, never, ever doubt your salvation again. You did not earn it, and you can't lose it. It was a gift from God. And he said, no one, nothing, he said it twice, can snatch you out of his hand. God does not have slippery fingers. God does not have arthritis in his fingers. It's kind of a funny way to put it, but ain't no Arthur in God's hands. Remember old timers used to say that? Arthur's come to town. That's not the case with God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we do have eternal security. It has everything to do with you. Jesus, what you did on the cross and the resurrection. Everything we do, everything we have, everything comes from you. Lord, we thank you. Father, if there's one here this morning that's never given their life to Christ, they're in this song of invitation. I pray that they'll come down and make sure today. Father, again, we pray a special prayer over the sick and the suffering. And we lift up Julie one more time as she begin to cross over into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.